I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Corey Valancourt of the Smoky Mountain News and a BPR contributor. Corey, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure, Matt.
We're going to wrap up 2019 in politics here, looking ahead to 2020. As of last Thursday morning, things were very, very different for us. The stories we were planning on writing, the coverage we were planning on doing was vastly different than what we're doing now. So as last Thursday morning, incumbent Republican Mark Meadows announces he's retiring, expected to take a job at the Trump administration or the Trump campaign somewhere in the coming months. But instead, that opens up a floodgate of candidates filing and really changing how this entire race for this congressional seat is going to change, which was already different because we have different district lines for next year. So let's start there. First, we're going to look at the Democratic side. There are five Democrats running. Tell us about that and how much Meadows' announcement changes how they're going to campaign.
The first person to declare that they were running months and months ago was Steve Woodsmall. He's a Pisgah Forest Democrat who had run in the 2018 primary, but he finished second with 31% of the vote. Not long after Woodsmall had been in it for quite some time, you had a guy named Morris Davis, Colonel Morris Davis, who also declared his intentions to oppose Congressman Meadows. And then you had another guy by the name of Michael O'Shea. So prior to the Meadows announcement, those were the three announced candidates that we suspected.
We have some others come in there. Gina Colias was going to run in a different district. She was originally going to run in the 10th district, which she had run for in 2018 as a Republican, this time running as a Democrat. The lines get changed around the same time here because we have that sort of timeline in there. She changes. She's now running in the 11th district. And then there's the final addition to the race, which you were there for last week and how this changed. So tell us about Philip Price and his not being in the race and now being in the race.
If you really want to talk about peak Asheville, Matt, I was backstage at the Gray Eagle with Michael O'Shea, and they revealed to me that Philip Price was going to endorse O'Shea and not run himself. And so about 12 hours later, the Meadows announcement dropped when I think most journalists were still in bed, and we woke up to this extremely chaotic scene. The next day, Friday, by the filing deadline, Philip Price had filed and apparently reneged on that endorsement and will be out on the campaign trail. So that rounds out this Democratic field at five candidates.
And Price was the nominee in 2018, so he's running again. The other thing that really changes this on the Democratic side is all of these candidates were running against Mark Meadows, and that was so much of their campaign literature that we were seeing in their sort of pronouncements and statements. They're not running against Mark Meadows now. This fundamentally changes every single one of their campaigns.
Without a doubt. The district, when it was redrawn, it lost some of that Republican advantage. Now that the incumbent, a powerful, well-known incumbent, is no longer part of the picture, you'd have to think that that favors Democrats even more. So I think that's why someone like Price got back into that race, and that's also a good reason why we have 11 Republicans who said, me too.
So we're coming to that right now. Again, in about a 36-hour period, maybe even less than that, 11 different Republicans announced that they were running. Linda Bennett was the first one. She announced maybe just a couple hours after Meadows' announcement that she was in the race. And then we got some very familiar names past her that entered in the next 24 hours or so. So try to wrap this up with all the 11 folks and you know, tell us about all the people that did decide to come in.
Well, Bennett was the first to declare. A press release went out before 9 a.m. that morning announcing her candidacy. According to Pete Callender over at iHeart, she had purchased her web domain in late October, so there was apparently some foreknowledge or some speculation there. I don't know how widely that circulated, but the next name that we saw was a man who announced his retirement from politics earlier this fall. That's five-term Senator Jim Davis from Franklin. Davis is well-known. He's popular. He's a fairly moderate Republican, and he's already got a legacy and a record in the westernmost counties in that district. So he's certainly going to be a formidable primary opponent for the other 10 people who are in the field.
Then on Friday, as we're trying to wrap up and thinking about what we're going to do, eight more people enter the race. A couple names people are going to know.
One of them that's probably familiar to Asheville listeners is Chuck Archard. He's run for a few different things. He hasn't been successful yet. He's a Biltmore Park attorney, Republican, obviously. And then the other one who you have to think is probably the hands-down favorite at this point is Wayne King. He's listed as a senior advisor on the Meadows team. I believe he may be chief of staff, but he's certainly the establishment incumbent representative in this field. He's already nailed down endorsements from the Tea Party Express, which is the largest Tea Party group in the United States, as well as the North Carolina Republican Sheriff's Association. Interestingly enough, Linda Bennett has been endorsed by whatever the Asheville Tea Party PAC is called here. And so you may have a little bit of rift between those far right Tea Party advocates. But I'm certain with the 11 candidates, if you're a Republican voter, there's got to be somebody in that spectrum that you can get behind and give your vote to.
An open seat, redrawn district. We can expect a lot next year, I think, coming with this. Can we not? I think a lot of national interest is going to come into this in the next year also. And again, typically when an incumbent announces they're not running, of course it changes the race. This seemed to change it in so many different ways that we're still really figuring out at this point.
It did. And all the speculation is that Meadows is going to join the Trump administration in some way. So it's likely that we continue to have a very powerful, influential Republican figure from Western North Carolina acting on a national and international level. What that is right now, we obviously don't know. It's just that he will not be doing so as an elected official. The other aspect to this, I think, is if you get a guy like Wayne King, who has been part of the Meadows era for so long, this race could draw that national attention, and it would not surprise me a bit to see the president down here campaigning for King, hoping to reclaim or continue to claim this seat for Republicans in North Carolina, as well as kind of give a boost to Meadows, who has been a strong supporter of Trump since day one.
We know in 2016, the president, then candidate Trump, did campaign, did hold two events here in Asheville, one at the U.S. Cellular Center and one out at the WNC Ag Center. So it is a place that, you know, the president would be familiar with and coming to.
Absolutely. And if you look at our earlier presidential primary this year, it takes place on March 3rd. Early voting starts in mid-February. So as soon as the holidays clear out and we're into early January, candidates are really going to have about 6 weeks to make their push in a tremendously valuable swing state like North Carolina. So it would not surprise me a bit to see the president here, to see some of his surrogates here, and to see a number of these Democratic presidential candidates, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, people like that, possibly making appearances in this area. Bernie Sanders has toured the Carolinas fairly extensively. He was out in Greensboro and places like that. So,
and he was in Asheville earlier this year as well. Another thing to remember is we're in the Greenville-Spartanburg media market. Asheville is in Western North Carolina. All of BPR's listing areas officially in that market. And the South Carolina presidential primary is the week before North Carolina. So expect a lot of movement there.
This is an exciting time for anybody that follows politics.
So getting out of the federal level, let's look at the state level. We have five incumbents that are either retiring in the General Assembly in Western North Carolina or who are running for different seats. Now, I think actually now the only two that are actually retiring are Michelle Presnell and Chuck McGrady, whereas Kevin Corbin, Jim Davis, and Terry Van Dyne are now just running for other seats. So we have a lot of open seats or seats that will at least change over in the General Assembly in our area. We're going to have some primaries, though, and a couple of very surprising ones out in the western part of the state that you wanted to tell us about.
That's right. If we start furthest west, House District 120, that was Kevin Corbin's district. He is moving on to run for Jim Davis's seat. He's trying to hand that seat off to a Macon commissioner named Carl Gillespie. There's no primary in that race, so that seat is solidly Republican and will remain so. But as you work your way west, Representative Joe Sam Queen, he's been part of the longest-running political feud in Western North Carolina history, running against Mike Clampett five times. He was successful four of those times. Clampett's again declared his intention to face Queen, but he now has a primary opponent in the form of Ron Mao, who is a Jackson County commissioner. So that's a bit surprising on that Republican side. Queen doesn't have a primary, so he'll be okay going through to November. And then you have, as you said, Michelle Presnell. Announced her retirement. There was some speculation she might run for Congress. She's not one of those 11. But her successor that she's apparently handpicked is a first-term Republican commissioner from Haywood County by the name of Mark Pless. So, interestingly enough, Mark Pless's general election opponent is a Democrat by the name of Alan Jones. Alan is a prominent figure in the Steelworkers Union in Canton. They've been a powerful force on the scene there politically for half a century or more. So that looks like it could be a rather interesting race. And again, with the incumbent out of the way, it's much more of a toss-up than it would have been as it was in the last two elections when people attempted to unseat Presnell and just couldn't do it.
I don't know. What do we look forward to in 2020 here? There's so much because this is just the sort of local races. Remember, people are also going to be, we're going to have a U.S. Senate race. We're going to have a governor's race that's going to get a lot of national attention. And by the way, North Carolina is a battleground state, one of the 8 to 10 states that will probably decide the presidential election. And Charlotte is the host of the Republican National Convention next year. We're sort of at ground zero here, aren't we?
Absolutely. Again, this is a great place and a great time to be alive if you follow politics. And if you don't, you need to find somewhere else to be.
Well, we will be here in 2020 on Blue Ridge Public Radio, and Corey's reporting for the Smoky Mountain News and bringing you lots and lots of coverage of what's going to be going on. We have some things to share with you soon in the next couple of weeks, of some additional things we'll do to make sure the coverage comes to you next year. But Corey, thank you, and you know, let's enjoy our little holiday here as we're planning ahead for 2020, because we're discussing we're going to have a long year.
We are.
All right, thanks, Corey.